Gavin's Den is Wrecking Ball Radio.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than a car crash.
Wow.
We're better than that. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by Joe Curry.
Hello.
And Pip Helix.
Hi, everybody.
On the show, Apple's getting sued. Facebook leaves a live video of an assault online for a little longer than people would like. Turbans are now allowed in the police and military. Joe's going to catch us up with his mental anguish.
Yeah, how long of a segment is that?
It's not long.
Oh.
There's a lot of anguish, but not a lot of mental.
Talk fast.
Exactly. And a new turbulent flight where comforting leads to being kicked off. But so I had to attend a bar mitzvah this past weekend.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's the right reaction. It was the son of my wife's friend, and here's the thing. I know you can't help the timing of the bar mitzvah because it has to do with your birthday.
Right.
But it really stinks trying to squeeze in to, like, formal clothing after you've been stuffing your stupid face since Halloween.
That's so true.
You know, you took the kids' candy.
Right. Yeah.
And then you gorge yourself on Thanksgiving.
Right.
Then you suckle more food down your stupid throat on Christmas.
Yes.
And then you chug a bunch of booze on New Year's Eve. But here, a week later, I know you went to the gym half a time for your resolution. Squeeze into something.
Yeah, there's going to be buttons a popping.
Yeah, I was a little nervous.
Yeah, I
was a little nervous because I don't wear this type of clothing regularly. You know, you got to put on the suit and everything.
Yeah.
A little nervous. I think it's kind of cruel. The women are putting on their Spanx.
Yes. What, you didn't put yours on?
I don't have a pair, unfortunately.
I bought you some.
I did not know that. Have you ever had somebody who you love who is sick, but you don't want them to get better?
Whoa.
At least not right away.
Manson. No, I'm kidding.
That's somebody you love.
No, so,
yeah, really.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm talking about. No, I'm kidding.
All right. Here's the scenario.
Somebody that
the bar mitzvah's on Saturday.
Okay.
Wife stays home sick on Friday.
I gotcha.
Oh,
I gotcha.
Right.
Oh, here's your out.
I don't have to go.
Oh, my wife is so sick. Honey.
It's her friend. It's her friend, so there's no way. I'm not going to go.
Right.
It's her friend.
And if she's under the weather, you're not going.
Right, and she can't infect a bunch of little kids.
Right.
Right, so, you know, if she's sick, we should not go.
Right.
Stupid. Plies her with Tylenol, cold, and flu.
No.
On Friday night.
No, did you?
She was sick. She wanted it.
I know, but you know, I mean,
I still felt good about my chances because that has a shelf life.
Right, because if she gets up still feeling like crap, you're golden.
Yes. We need her waking up feeling like crap. I wake up early. I go downstairs. I watch a movie downstairs. I'm just going to lounge. I got all day. We're not going anywhere. Yeah. Stupid wakes up healthy and is ready to go. Are you kidding me?
You ruined everything with your health and all.
You have the audacity to stay home from work, and now you want to go to a bar mitzvah?
Dumbbell sitting down there getting ready to watch football. He's in his jammies, and she comes, come on, get ready.
Pretty much.
Mr. Munchausen here was wishing her the worst.
Mr. That's great.
So we know how these religious ceremonies make my skin crawl.
Oh, yeah, they drone on forever.
Yes. So we have a call time at 10 o'clock.
Okay.
When the ceremony is supposed to start. But my wife and daughter are always running late.
Yeah.
I'm fine with this. I'm not nervous.
You want to get going?
It's not kickoff.
You want to get a good seat for the...
It's not kickoff. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, you still want to get there before the kid gets called up to the Torah, because that's the big thing.
Yeah.
That's the headlining event. That's what you want to get there for. So I put in the GPS. We finally get out of the house around 9:30. It's about an hour or so away. So I should get there around 10:30 or so if I speed. And I do, because I think getting there by 10:30 is the respectable thing. I've missed a lot of the pregame prayers.
You have to be there before the Baruch.
You got to be there before he gets called up to the Torah.
Yeah.
That's what you got to be, because that's his big moment.
Yeah, but isn't that his first word?
I don't know. You're asking the wrong Jew.
You knew.
I did
that
know.
That should be a segment.
Asking
the wrong Jew.
So we're driving, and then an unpredictable thing happens. It's snowing. It was not supposed to snow.
Uh-oh.
It was not supposed to snow. It was supposed to snow on the eastern end of Long Island. It was not supposed to snow in New Jersey.
Mm.
But now it's snowing. And I'm not prepared. I don't have boots on. I don't have galoshes, as my father would say.
You don't have the weather on either.
No, I checked it the day before. I didn't check in the morning. By the time I check in the morning, 2 to 4 to 6 inches. Really? I don't need this. Now I'm trying to speed. I got ball tires. I don't know where the hell I'm going. I don't have a stupid brush in the car for the snow because I'm not prepared. I don't have gloves because it's not snowing where I live, but it's snowing where I'm going.
Yeah, but it still says January on everybody's calendar. Would you have that stuff in the car?
No, it wasn't supposed to get it. I should have, but I took it out the last time we had a snowstorm.
Mm. I was sitting on the couch and I knew it was going to snow.
Yeah, well, thank you,
ma'am. You're welcome.
So we get there around 10:35.
Oh.
That's a pretty good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Problem. They have not started yet.
No!
That was my reaction.
Oh, no!
I got Volt.
Yes, Joe.
That's the other
he
good
doesn't
reaction.
Start until 10:45.
No.
Are you kidding me? Now I got to be there for an hour and 45 minutes of stuff. I don't care. Well, and I can't even go on my phone or on Facebook to waste time because it'd be disrespectful to the Lord.
Wait a minute. You can't even like waste time because you're all sitting there waiting for something to happen?
No, it starts at 10:45, but there's all that praying and everything going on.
No, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
I got to sit there like I care.
Mm. Yeah, but now why did they wait? Because of the weather?
I don't know why. They didn't consult me.
Obviously. It wouldn't have happened.
No,
at all.
Exactly.
Didn't consult you.
And you never hear this, that rabbi is a man of few words. You never hear that.
No.
These guys like to, every preacher likes to talk. Like every word is
they're preachers.
Yeah, yes, but like everyone is coming from God himself.
Right.
And you know,
that's their job.
Yeah, well, their job stinks. Their job is let's go to the food. Wrap it up. Let's go. Know your audience. Nobody wants to hear you. We're here for the kids.
They're not the MC.
They are, essentially.
Okay.
He's droning on, and the snow is piling up. I don't got time for this. Now I got to drive to the place. An hour, 45 minutes later, I got to drive to the place where they're having the big party in the snow. It's coming down. I'm not equipped, and I'm wearing these stupid shoes that I only wear for funerals and weddings, and I know this because I still have dirt on them from the last funeral I went to.
Oh, man.
And those good. Those shoes are good to break your ass with, too.
Yes.
Oh,
they
yeah. They are. No, there's never any traction on them.
Yeah,
you're
exactly.
Gonna kill
yourself. Yeah. So I'm slip sliding, skidding there. We finally get to the event. We're about to walk in where they're having the cocktail hour, and my wife screams.
Why?
A roach runs across.
Oh!
Yes.
Oh.
But I'm like, really? It's a roach. Let it
no,
go.
No.
I'm sure there's more of them.
No. Oh, no. Oh,
I mean, it's a beautiful place, but the roaches like it, too.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a deal breaker.
She screams. I still eat.
I know. You're going to sit there and go, oh, I'm a rat. You know?
I'm hungry.
Oh, man, so are the roaches.
He was probably going to eat the roach. He was so hungry.
Probably. I wasn't going to eat the roach. I'm not that disgusting.
Protein.
Funny.
So here's something that you only hear at a bar mitzvah. How about another round of Shirley Temples?
Oh, boy.
Because the kids are rushing the bar like they've never had grenadine and 7-Up before. And they're all big shots there. Oh, it's on the house. It's on me. Is it? It's comped. And they're elbowing me, but they're 13 and I can't hit them back.
Yes, you could.
I could, but I did not.
You're their size.
Oh, man.
There's a shot.
That was.
Now, what I've also, I also noticed this.
Yeah.
Proud of himself.
Joe?
Yeah.
Funny.
The girls are wearing, some of these girls are wearing clothing that is painted onto them that is barely covering their buttocks.
Oh, like those little like club dresses?
It is like they shop directly from the Motley Crue video collection.
No.
And why do the parents let them dress like that?
I don't know, Joe. I wasn't consulted.
Again.
They're leaving you out of a lot of stuff at this event.
Exactly. And we know it doesn't work out well like that.
Funny, yeah.
But yes, you're absolutely right. Why are they letting them out of the house? Like, but here's the thing.
At a religious event.
It's
right.
And you start looking at them like, oh my God, look at her. She looks great. And then you realize she's 13.
Creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right, creepy.
Yeah. Exactly. So you fight with yourself like, really? But it's not really your fault.
Yeah.
Because she's advertising. But then you realize what she's advertising and you can't go shopping there.
Yeah, you're creepy. Yeah.
You should not.
I'm not rich enough to make those charges go away.
That's absolutely true.
That works on many levels. Anyway.
Yeah, like it was the store Forever 21 is like forever to life.
But, you know, I hope my daughter has enough respect for us that she will leave the house dressed well.
Yes.
Covering herself.
Mm. Right.
And go around the corner and change out of that crap so I don't have to see it.
Absolutely, because that's what you're supposed to do.
Yes, a little respect.
That's how that game is played.
Yes.
Well, it's funny. One of my grandnieces was a waitress at Hooters. And I,
her family's proud.
Well, but the thing about it is, I see it on Facebook. I'm ready to jump on a plane out to Colorado with a sweater. Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, yeah. Absolutely. I can't believe some of the things. I know I sound 100, but I can't believe some of the things that girls go out of the house in. I mean, the dress is like barely covering the subject.
Was it different when we were younger? The Jordache jeans.
No, it wasn't
stuff
different.
Like
no,
that. Girl,
no, girls
thing.
Have always dressed like whores. Yeah. I'm just older now, and I can't partake.
That's what you're really upset about.
Yeah, exactly. Well, fortunately, we left early before the entrees were served, and we missed the 30-minute video tribute. So I thank my lucky stars for
wow.
that. I know this because we were at the daughter's one, and there was a 30-minute video tribute. So
painful.
Yes. All right. When we come back, Facebook and stuff. You're listening to The Den. So, big story last week was the Facebook video where they went live, where these four African-American teens, and older, actually, 18 to 24,
mm-hmm.
assaulted this white, mentally challenged 18-year-old man, and they posted it live as they were doing it on Facebook, because that's what you do when you commit a crime. You want to make sure you get your props.
Get your cameo in.
Sure, everybody's a star. It's the me generation. So they post this live on Facebook, and they're screaming F Donald Trump and doing horrible things to this man, and it remained on Facebook like 30 minutes after the thing was done. I think the video was like an hour live.
Wow.
It was quite the production.
Yeah.
So the video is watched by 16,000 people, and it was taken down eventually. There's no way of knowing if it was reported to Facebook, but there were comments underneath the video of people exclaiming how horrified they were.
Right.
Of this, I would imagine so. A spokeswoman for Facebook said, we do not allow people to celebrate or glorify crimes on Facebook and remove the original video for this reason. In many instances, though, when people share this type of content, they are doing so to condemn violence or raise awareness about it. In that case, the video would be alive. Be allowed. Well, they certainly raised awareness.
Yeah.
To their own.
And I think they're backpedaling on that.
Facebook?
Yeah.
So Facebook also pointed to a blog spot about community standards for live video, where it explains that it has a team on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, dedicated to responding to reports from users immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Reviewers can interrupt the live video stream if it violates the community standards. It only takes one report for an item of content to be reviewed. The company also monitors videos if they reach a certain level of popularity, even if they haven't been reported. NPR highlighted in November the role of moderation is carried out by a team of subcontractors operating under pressure, making decisions about pieces flagged for content once every 10 seconds. They say it's no surprise that mistakes such as inappropriate censorship of a celebrated Vietnam War picture or a breast cancer awareness video are made. Given the complexity and duration of live video streams, it's difficult to see how they can effectively assess under their conditions. Facebook has been coming under fire. We know this. For content being reported and to be more proactive when it comes to editing what appears on their platform.
Yeah.
Should Facebook have taken this down more quickly?
Yes.
I think that had they gotten as many complaints as I would expect, they certainly should have taken it down faster.
I think what this is, and we've reported this on past shows when we've talked about Facebook, I think they're just understaffed.
Oh, yeah.
They're woefully understaffed to be the mega media presence that they are and want to continue to be in our life. I think that's what it is.
There's so much content.
I don't think they got any complaints. I don't think most people know how to complain about something.
16,000 people watched it and nobody complained.
Then you're saying that they willfully ignored it.
Wow.
I'm not willing to make that jump.
I don't know that anybody, if they had any idea what's on there, I don't think that Facebook would willingly keep it up. It's just strange to me that it would take that long for them to find out what was up there.
And besides Facebook standards, what about YouTube standards?
You know, well, it was taken off of YouTube, too, eventually.
Eventually.
I don't know how long it was on YouTube.
Yeah.
I don't know how YouTube is.
Yeah, so
YouTube is owned by Google.
Right.
So I don't know I mean, I
right, but like you know, in the crux of things, if Facebook has got to stand on the carpet, YouTube has got to stand on the carpet as well, mm-hmm. deciding on what was an appropriate amount of time to remove that.
Right.
From
but
the platforms.
I think we have to decide: do we want Facebook editing what's on their platform? Because it seems like that's what people want, but then you go to the other end, well, do you really want them deciding? Because then things that you think should be up there are not going to be
well,
up there.
Well, here's deciding what things you decide should be. It's their platform.
Right.
So, you know, it's, you know, do we want, you know, it's like, do I want Macy's to put out, you know, spring stuff when I'm trying to buy a jacket? You know, I'm not, you know, it's their place. They can do whatever they want. You know, if I go, I go, you know, I go out to another store. So, you know, but it's when they put the thing out, you know, in a moral way.
I understand what you're saying, that it is their platform. They can make decisions about what content is going to be allowed and not allowed. They're inconsistent as all get out about what they decide that they're going to take down.
That's true. That's very true.
Because they have different people. Now we're finding they're independent contractors.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they have a set of standards, but things strike people in different ways.
Yeah, they do.
Here's, I think, the risk that Facebook runs. If they wind up becoming too heavy-handed, mm-hmm. this stuff's going to go underground.
Yeah.
People are still going to do all these heinous things. They're still going to broadcast it. Maybe it'll be on the black net.
Right.
The dark net, I should say,
mm-hmm.
you know, which we've talked about in the past. But they're still going to broadcast it. So in a way, it's kind of good that people feel comfortable enough broadcasting this stuff, so we have the video evidence of what happened. We saw that when the man in I don't remember where, I want to say Minnesota, was shot, and his girlfriend filmed him by the police officer. We had that footage because she was on Facebook Live,
mm-hmm.
right? And you know, and we have it. So it's kind of a good platform.
But do you think that because that they can become a video star for a couple of minutes, that emboldens them to do some of these things, so that they can say, "Look, now we're going to show the world our power because it's going to be on the new version of television."
And they have a platform, and depending on when they catch it, and you know, if and how they censor it, how much exposure they would get.
I think it's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's certainly part of it, but I mean, I think it's too easy to say Facebook has to be on top of all this, because the reason people like these social media platforms is because they can get away with stuff.
Right.
Yeah, but
I'm not saying we should get away with assault.
Well, assault mm-hmm. on a, you know, on a mentally challenged person, you know, that's pretty serious stuff, you know, and they need, if that's the case where they don't have enough people policing that, then, you know, maybe they need to hire more, you know.
I think they have to hire more people, and I think they're just in a really weird place to try to strike a balance.
Because it's mm-hmm. a new medium. It's a medium where things, you know, it's not TV where they have a standards commission, you know,
right.
Standards and practices where that couldn't get on. It's a new horizon where, you know, there were standards and practices, whoever's doing the censorship that day.
Right.
You know, so looking forward, they have to be more on top of this, maybe get a better subcontractor, hire more people, and then have a better standard of what they should be taking off. Some guy saying stuff about Trump or some, you know, like, you know, protesters or something like that, leave that on. But something like this is wrong. This is bad.
Yeah, right. I mean,
well, I want to move on.
Okay.
Because Apple's on the hook, too.
Oh.
Apple's getting sued for something different. So somebody's suing Apple, a Texas family suing Apple, alleging that the company knew its FaceTime messaging service enabled distracted drivers, yet failed to take preventive steps to lock out users behind their wheel. So they know that it's distracting. They have the technology to stop it you from using while driving, but Apple didn't use that technology.
How can they stop? Yeah, well, this is what I'm asking is, what technology is available that could stop somebody from using while they're driving?
It's weird. Apple has not had me in the pitch meetings.
But I mean, now you're using your phone, so you're.
There's got to be something in the motion.
But people would be
moving. Or the GPS. The GPS, you could probably figure out how fast you're going.
Oh, I guess that's a potential.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
all
probably
right.
Something like
that one I can
okay, anyway,
buy.
Moving on. As a result, they argue FaceTiming driver crashed into the back of their car, killing their 5-year-old daughter.
Mm.
James and Bethany Modisette were driving with their two daughters on I-35 in Dallas when James braked and the family car due to an accident up ahead. A driver rear-ended them with his Toyota at 65 miles per hour, killing the 5-year-old girl, Mariah.
Mm.
The driver told police he was on FaceTime at the time, and the officers found his phone in the car. The suit alleges that Apple was negligent, failing to block FaceTime used by drivers, and they had the means to do so, pointing to a 2008 patent application filed by the company for driver handheld computing device lockout mechanism to disable the ability of a handheld computing device to perform certain functions such as texting while one is driving. The patent was granted in April of 2014. Defendant Apple says it had the technology to prevent these events, and the motor said, Defendant Apple's Inc. has had the technology to prevent these events and the motor sets injuries specifically since at least December 2008 when it filed an application. The family alleges, so they're holding them responsible.
I think, you know, you have a sense of responsibility. Not Apple, the driver. If you're that stupid, you know, if you're that stupid that you should know, Apple is not, I don't feel Apple's responsible when it is known that you can't do that.
Well,
and it's stupid to do that. I mean, where will it end after that? Why isn't the car manufacturer being sued for having the guy, you know, drive this car? It's almost the same thing.
I agree that it's a slippery slope, but I don't think Apple should be on the hook for this.
Not at all.
No.
But, I mean, again, you know, if you're this family, you had the technology.
Well, I understand they had the technology, but I mean,
why would you apply for the technology if you don't know there's a problem?
Well, because they're cynical and they want to make money, and they want people to be able to use it however they
want.
So
then why not put it on the phones and say you could use it or not use it? That would get them off the hook. Then it puts it on personal responsibility.
Well, that's a good point.
That is a good point. That's why I make these points.
It's personal responsibility right off the bat when you should know, have enough common sense.
I understand that, but mm-hmm. Apple could have protected themselves by making the standard.
Make it available.
Exactly. Yes. Apple could have protected them, then we wouldn't be here. I think it's kind of similar to preventing people from going on kitty porn sites. Like, you probably can prevent them, make them not available,
right,
if you know the kitty porn sites, but none of the browsers are doing that.
Yeah.
You know, you can still commit the crime, even though you're not supposed to.
You can't legislate then that stupid person, and immoral.
Then that person should be under the obviously they are, but that's a personal thing, and
right,
that person should be under, you know.
But you could make the argument if kiddie porn wasn't available on the internet, it would drastically cut down on kiddie porn.
It would, but you know what? We have to hold people responsible for their own behavior.
I think you could do both. All right, when we come back, turbines, get yours. Turbans are the new thing, kids.
Yay!
Getting turbans out. Joe's got his on. Looks good in it. Growing out his beard. Looks good. A little terroristy. We like it, Joe. Good job. So Sikh officers can now wear full turbans. By the way, Sikhs are not Muslims. I don't know if everybody knows that, but I feel like...
Too many people don't know
exactly,
that.
Exactly, so... Sikhs are, you know what, and then when they're sitting by the Muslim, they're as nervous as you are. So always remember that, kids.
They are.
Sikh officers can now wear full turbans in the New York Police Department. Commissioner O'Neill says we want to make the NYPD as diverse as possible, and I think this is going to go a long way to help us with that. So currently there's about 160 Sikh officers in the NYPD. The policy changed, so Sikh officers can wear a smaller wrap known as a patka beneath their official police cap. This is before... and now they can wear a fuller one. The NYPD also announced Wednesday a religious accommodation allowing for officers to go with approval, grow a beard up to half an inch long. The previous policy had allowed beards for up to a millimeter in length. What type of sucky job is that, going around measuring beards?
Really?
The beard measurer.
Yeah, the beard. Nobody likes the beard. Get out of here.
I've got a ruler and a razor.
I don't care if there's cheese in there. Get out.
Please, I have a longer beard growing on my legs right now than what they were allowed previously. I mean, come on. That was ridiculous.
Tells her about her grooming habits.
Nobody asked, but she's so forthright. Yeah.
I can't help myself.
No, we wish you could. Over the summer, the NYPD was sued by a Muslim officer, Masood Syed, who said he was suspended, stripped of his badge, and gunned for wearing a beard longer than protocol. Syed, who lives in Queens, was later reinstated after receiving a temporary restraining order from a Manhattan federal judge. The case is still going. Syed, a lawyer and a 10-year vet of the NYPD, added, "It's not just for Muslims. We have Sikh officers, we have Jewish officers, we have Israelite officers who all believe that beard length should be longer than a half an inch, who have all approached me and asked me to represent them." So he's basically taking it on for everybody. The NYPD had previously prohibited beards because they were afraid they interfere with certain gas masks. There are about 900 Muslim Americans who currently serve on the NYPD. The Army also has changed regulations that state servicemen and women at the brigade level will now be granted religious accommodations to wear turbans, beard, and hijabs in accordance with their faith. The move comes just days after the NYPD did it. Some accommodations for Army service members were previously made on case-by-case basis. Now they don't have to go through that process.
Right, good.
The new regulations will also permit religious bracelets as well as dreadlocks for female soldiers. Tuesday's decision ensures that brigade-level commanders will approve all requests for religious accommodations as long as the soldier demonstrates sincere faith observance. I don't know what that means. And doing so would not present a, quote, specific concrete hazard. For the time being, soldiers with religious accommodations to grow beards will be restricted from military schools and positions where proximity to toxic chemical agents may arise. I think these are good things.
I do, too. What they're saying is they're saying if somebody is sincerely...
No, I know. I don't know what the standard is if you're sincerely religious. I mean, I could throw on a yarmulke and be looking on my phone in temple. I don't know what that means. No. I mean, how sincere am I? But I get what they're saying.
Right, right.
I mean, I don't know if we need the religious arbitrator, but I get that.
Yeah.
I guess they'll consult with God, and God will say yay or nay. I don't know how it works, but I get what they're going for.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure, you know, you fake like you're interested in going to your services, you get to go. But I like this because I think it's good. I think it's good for the cities. I think it's good for the nation.
I think it's absolutely ridiculous.
I knew you would.
Okay, there's a standard that these organizations both had, the Army and the police. And you want to know something? Why don't they have enough respect? You know, if you want to join this organization, this is the uniform. You want to join it, join it. If you don't want to wear the uniform in a certain style, then don't be a cop. Don't join the Army.
Right, but the problem is we need people to join, become cops and join Army. Not a lot of people want that job. We need that. And you're more likely to get further. If you see a police officer and he looks like you, you're more likely to let him know if something's going on or if you have a problem or there's a problem in the community to as opposed, well, this guy doesn't look like me. I don't trust him. That's just human nature.
Yes, you're going to make inroads into other communities.
Yes, you gravitate towards people.
But why do they get a pass? I mean,
everybody gets a pass.
Why do they get a pass? How come all the Irish people, the Italian people, the Chinese people that wanted to join the police force,
they all had to, but still, at
least they showed respect to the uniform.
They are showing respect. If they weren't they are showing respect.
No,
they're showing respect to God.
We're kowtowing too much. We are kowtowing entirely too much.
This is part of their religious respect to God.
Then have respect to the country, okay? What you do in your professional life, it should be to what the job entails.
Yeah, but you got no problem with the baker not cooking a cookie for gay people because of their religious beliefs.
That's
their God. That's their God. That's their hey, if you're in the country, bake the cookie. But, you know, they say because of my religious beliefs, I can't bake the cookie. I mean, that's the same thing.
It's a uniform.
And they're wearing the uniform.
No, they're not. They're kowtowing to this. Every other nationality that's come to this country has loved this country and has accepted a uniform or accepted
obviously
into
the
culture.
Obviously, they love the
country. But they're not assimilating into the culture. And this is the first time, and this new wave of people that are coming here refuse to do it. Refuse to do it.
No, they did assimilate. They raised these concerns, and the people who are responsible for keeping soldiers and you, and police officers and community.
No,
safe,
they're kowtowing to political correctness.
No,
is what they're essentially doing.
No, they're making a decision on what makes it a more effective unit. They know. You don't know. I don't know.
And that what it's going to have is going to be resentment where all these people that have been in the force, these people that come in and go, really, they get an exception, they get a pass.
Because, if they had religious concerns...
Hey, listen, man, I don't like religion at all. Get it all out. But we happen to be in a country that values it, so you got to respect everybody's. It's freedom of religion. It's respect everybody's. You want these people to be part... You want them to assimilate. Part of assimilating is walking the street.
And it's also a military... It's also a military organization and a paramilitary organization, and there should be one set uniform. Not kowtowing to everybody that comes along and says, well, I'm this and I want to wear that and I'm that and I want to wear this. It's a uniform. It's a paramilitary and a military organization.
Yeah, but you've never worn a uniform. Why are you getting outraged?
I was a Boy Scout.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares. But, I mean, why are you getting offended for them? If they're fine with it, why? Listen, I got...
Have you interviewed them?
Have I? Well, we haven't seen any rank and file? We haven't seen any complaints.
Believe me, I'm sure... Believe me, you know cops and stuff like that. Believe me,
you know I'm sure there's some that object, but I'm sure there's others that you know what. As long as they're a good partner, they don't care. They could be wearing a dress and having a beard and a 30-foot Adam's apple. They don't care.
Wait till that comes.
What?
Wait till that starts.
We've seen you in that outfit,
and we all have.
Yeah, we have seen you in that outfit, and it's not pretty.
That's the uniform. That's the uniform of Rotgut, and I have to wear it.
You don't have to. You choose to, and they allow it. They accommodate for your stupid beliefs that making an ass of yourself is good for the band.
Always has been.
Well, the powers that be, Joe Cumia, decided that it'd be better to allow this type of shenanigans.
He's the boss.
Than not allow it. I think it's a good thing. I think it's good for
not
everybody.
Me.
I like it.
All right. Joe's going to unleash. Don't go anywhere. What's going on, Joe?
Well, the latest in the antics of my separation and selling my house. When I got my, I guess, estranged wife has been nothing but a drain on my finances since day one.
As estranged wives will be.
Yes. And when we got, when we went to the mediator last year, I had to put together all my facts and figures. And what my wife did not realize is that my house is a premarital asset at a certain value.
Ooh.
Okay. I was shown the mediator. I actually wanted to get $50,000 more because I laid out $50,000 in building materials and supplied the facts and figures.
I'm sure it's gone up since back then.
Well, the mediator took a look at the took a look at that and said, "Well, did you take a loan out to do this?" And I go, "Yeah, that's where I got that's where the appraisal for the house goes." Well, you took a loan out. You can't add that. I'm like, "Really? I wanted it." Nope. Sorry, can't. Can't
Why?
Do it because there was a loan out taken on that $50,000, and I can't use that as an asset because there I owed money on it.
Because it wasn't an asset going into it.
It was an asset going into it.
Oh, okay. And you've been paying that off.
If he had paid it off and had the $50,000 of construction before they said I do, it would be an asset.
Right. So the house. So I didn't win that.
Okay.
But the house was a certain value. Okay.
Right.
As we're getting going to market, Joe, my wife realizes that she might not be getting a lot of money,
right.
And she's been out of work since June. And she really doesn't do much, you know. And what she – so I was talking to my therapist, and I go, should I sit down – and she hasn't paid health insurance. I pay all the health insurance. She doesn't pay her fair share of what it costs to live there. Everything has gone up in the past year. So I was talking to my therapist, and I go, should I go – I'm thinking of sitting down with her and telling her what these expenses have run, and I go – but I don't have the time, and I don't even think I should be bothered with this. And she goes, you shouldn't. I go, it's a ridiculous waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
My wife turns around and wants to know every penny because she saw I took money out of the joint account. And I go, yeah. I go, well, you took money out from Home Depot. I go, yeah. I go, to fix the house. I go, how many people have gone to Home Depot to buy fun stuff? You know, I go,
well,
it's...
You know, plywood is very enjoyable.
No, it's not. It stinks. And I'm like, so...
No pine.
Yeah. So what I have to do, and thank God I got the facts and figures. She goes, tomorrow morning, I want all the facts and figures. I'm like, yes, Senator.
What?
I go, yeah. I go, you'll get it maybe Thursday. And I go, and what I'm going to prove to her again that she's stupid. I got to sit there and waste time to prove that she could owe me a lot of money. So,
well, you know, I mean, that's ridiculous. It's like she's not paying anything.
Because she's nuts.
And she wants accounting of you?
Nuts.
I'll leave it with this. It's so odd that somebody who doesn't want to be a part of your life and has had enough of you is making the few weeks, months that she has left with you miserable. It's shocking, really, Joe. All right, don't go anywhere. More show. Thank you guys for hanging out with us at Davinson. We're having a good time. As always, sometimes you don't have a good time when you fly the friendly skies.
Oh, man, so many times.
We've been covering these stories quite a bit lately, so we decided we'd come up with a little bumper for it because we care about production.
This is your captain speaking. If you look to your right, you'll see a beautiful, serene river. If you look to your left, majestic mountains. Uh-oh, straight ahead, it seems like we have a big black cloud. We're going to need you to fasten your seatbelts, folks, because it looks like we're in for a turbulent flight.
So two sisters said they were humiliated. Humiliated. When Allegiant Air kicked them off a flight, claiming they were a threat. The two were on their way to Orlando, from Orlando to Asheville, North Carolina, to visit their sick father, who was in hospice. While the plane was waiting to leave on the tarmac, Hartman's sister got a text message saying their father only had hours to live. I didn't know if my sister was getting the same text, and I was thinking, I need to go back and tell her, Baker recalled. Baker said she got up to tell her sister, and the flight attendant stepped in.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be extra. You didn't pay for those seats.
That's a harassment fee.
Yes. She said, you need to sit down. And I said, well, can I just sit here? I just want to console my sister. We just got word from my dad's dying. First of all, I got to stop this right now. Who is on these flights where there's extra seats?
I know.
I haven't been on one of them in ages.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, when does that happen?
Exactly. I need to fly from Orlando to Asheville.
Apparently, not a lot of people want to go to Asheville.
Well, apparently not. Hartman said she started having a panic attack, and the situation only escalated from there when Baker confronted the flight attendant for not being compassionate. She said, you're being very rude. My father is dying, and I'm comforting her. And they said she needs to keep her personal problems off the plane.
Whoa.
You're going to have to stow that? That's going to have to be a check personal problem?
I'm
sorry, your problems are not going to fit in the overhead or underneath the chair. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, that's going to be $50.
That's a good line. She used it in the act.
Yeah, that is a good line.
All right, I'll steal it.
Of course you will. I'll steal your... Anyway. I'm just trying to find where I was. So they told us we were a threat to the flight, and I couldn't believe it. So minutes later, the sisters and the flight attendant called the captain of the plane and turned the plane around, and security escorted them off the flight. And so Hartman says people are like, what's going on? Some pastors even took to YouTube and complained about the situation. That's where you go, YouTube. Oh, little kittens and a complaint. That was the most humane and deplorable thing I've ever seen any human being do, one woman said. Hartman said the father died shortly after, and now she wants the airline to be held accountable.
What, for the father's death?
The missing,
for the
saying goodbye.
You can't get that back. Was that an attempt at humor? You should steal my lines. Yours are no good. I would like to see them in some way.
What did the father do to the airline? He did nothing.
Wait,
not his fault.
Is this the guy that was doing time at the funeral? That's what I want to know.
I would like to see him. I would like to see him in some way be punished in a way where people understand this is not humane. 100,000%, I blame them. They were at the gate between keeping me and my father from saying goodbye. I don't think they should keep their jobs. To be honest with you, Hartman said they don't have heart. They didn't care about what was going on. The airline released a statement saying, at Allegiant, we rely on our crew members to provide and oversee a safe environment for every passenger on every flight. We expect that authority to be exercised both judiciously and consistently, with empathy and with good judgment. We take this customer feedback seriously and are in the process of conducting an investigation into what occurred. All right, so do we think the captain and the flight attendant reacted properly?
Let me at that witch who said to the captain that there was a problem with these girls sitting next to each other because they were upset because their father was dying. Let me have a couple minutes with her in a room.
Well, in the flight attendant's defense, she didn't pay for the extra legroom. So she doesn't get to sit in that seat.
Oh, well then, screw these girls.
Yeah, I mean, the rules are rules.
No. I am infuriated by this story. Absolutely.
You're infuriated by this. Joe's infuriated by turbans. It's quite the angry show.
It is the angry show. Did you not know this about us? No, I
didn't know.
I can't believe that we've become such stupid people that we can't say to
Do
to
you
each
know
other,
us?
No. Yeah, well, that's true. I am new here. Earth? I can't believe that people are this inhumane to one another that she could not understand. Now, I don't know what tone this girl took with her, but it's like you take a step back, take a moment, and just listen to what the story is and see that, you know, things happen. People are, you know, have passions. They have, you know, moments where they're going to not be speaking very nicely because they're upset. It's like people don't ever get upset on airplanes. Get out.
Well, they're hypersensitive to people getting upset.
Yeah, but the deal is this. If the one sister was consoling the other sister over a boyfriend or a job or something like that, but when they say, you're being very rude, my father is dying, I'm comforting her, and they said she needs to keep her personal problems off the plane,
oh,
should
oh.
be fired right,
right
then and there.
Fired.
fired.
I don't know if she should be fired. I think you got to suspend her for some counseling,
yeah,
some training.
Yeah.
I don't know if she needs to lose her job over this.
That, I believe so. You know, sometimes on the, you know, look, people lose their mind on planes. I don't know what happens on
you
a plane.
You lose it
people,
not on the ground.
Very funny. But when people lose their marbles, you know, just acting ridiculous, sometimes the flight attendants have to be heavy-handed with stuff, you know, with unruly passengers.
Sometimes,
but
when somebody's acting insane, Joe, you need to give them a timeout and make them reconsider things.
Yeah. That's my facts and figures tomorrow. But, you know, but in this, you know, you got to use common sense. And I think sometimes they're like control freaks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're on high alert. I mean, they are. I think this flight attendant was having a really horrible day. You would have liked to have seen the captain go, "What's going on now?"
Yeah, right.
You would have liked to have seen somebody from the cockpit, the co-pilot, the pilot, come up and go, "All right, what's going on here?"
And
I survey the situation.
Yeah, somebody needed to second guess her because she was really being a control freak about this.
I'm glad you said control.
And it's not. Yes. And also, it's not unusual for people to jump on planes and fly to see, you know, dying relatives.
No, it's kind of what they're for.
Yeah. So, you know, it's not highly unreasonable. It probably happens all the time.
I think you take your personal problems off the plane.
What?
Hilarious.
What?
Impossible. Could you get a lobotomy before you board?
Yes.
Right after TSA. We'll be
Could you stop being human during the flight?
Yeah.
Thank
exactly.
you.
Like that. All right.
Yeah.
Joe, anywhere?
No.
No life here either.
I didn't even look at you.
Yeah.
I mean, I looked at you, but I shouldn't have looked at you. All
you
right.
looked at me with disdain.
You can hear the complete show, unedited, all the parts you missed, because there's more to this show, 3+ hours.
Yeah.
Davinsden.com, Davinsden.com. Like us on Twitter. No, follow us on Twitter, at Davinsden. Follow us. You know
all right, Donald.
All right. I didn't get in 140 characters. And my comments were not overrated. Anyway, if you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, keep on listening.